8:47, we're going to call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is the consent agenda. The general agenda: approve minutes of meeting held August 25th. Approve all claims through September 8th in the amount of $403,373.47. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve permit 868 for Windstream to install a communications East 35 Nemaha. Authorize representative letters for disasters 1878 and 1902. Approve permit 869 for Windstream Nebraska Inc. to install a communications facility East 12 Sicily Township. Approve permit 870 for Windstream Nebraska to replace a communications facility East 1 Claytonia Township.
I move we approve the consent agenda 1 through 8.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Anderson. Discussion? Vote. 6-1, with Adams abstaining as I wasn't here last week or 2 weeks ago. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items?
I just wanted to quickly go over a plan that we have here. I sent it out to you all in email, but September is National Preparedness Month for Homeland Security. There's three action steps that we always want people to take during disaster preparedness, and that is to get a kit, make a plan, and stay informed. During our strength, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats assessment for the county back in December, one of the things that was identified, they felt that senior citizens 60 and over, not all are prepared for a disaster. So a few weeks ago, there was some grant money that came available through the Nebraska Emergency Management Agency through Citizen Corps, which Citizen Corps was formed back after 9/11 to kind of help organize funding and processes to prepare people in their homes and businesses for a disaster. I applied for the grant money and received $7,500 from the state to purchase. The plan is to purchase 500 disaster preparedness kits and deliver them to senior citizens 60 and over in the county. And to do that, we're having a disaster preparedness day, a national preparedness day at Ace Hardware parking lot. It's the old Kmart building in Beatrice on September 18th, 9 to noon. I invite you all to come out and see some of our first responder equipment from my agency, Beatrice Fire, the Sheriff's Department, Beatrice Police Department, Red Cross will be there. And I have attached a couple of vouchers if you cannot use them yourself, if you're not 16 above. I'd like if you hand these out. I didn't say nothing. If you cannot use them yourself, is all I said. I'd like you to hand these out to someone if you cannot use them yourself and have them come that day. The voucher allows them to pick up the preparedness kit. The preparedness kit is about a $20 kit. It has in there a glow stick to break if for lighting, a whistle, some masks, emergency blanket, a first aid kit, a pill container, some antiseptic spray, all in one bag. So it's kind of a neat thing. The money is all spent locally. The $7,500, everything was purchased from here in town, the bags and everything included. We'll have some information there that day to hand out and some other free gifts to hand out that were done through other grants that were left over from other grants. So Blue Rivers Area on Aging is helping them with this through senior citizen centers in the county, and then the banks also in all the communities. I stopped by yesterday, and all the banks were more than happy to help us. If we do not get all 500 kits out that day, we will be going back and handing them out through the banks. The banks all agreed that if we didn't get all the kits handed out, we would be able to bring them back. And as people came into the bank that didn't get one, we'd hand them out at a later date. So I want to make sure all 500 kits are distributed within this month if we can. can. So the biggest thing is also the reason there's a name and phone number on there, a lot of people don't like to put that on there, but I need a receipt for my grant that the kits were handed out. And the other thing is when they do sign it and put their phone number, it goes into a drawing for a bigger kit that Red Cross is donating that day. We're having some refreshments that day and just all kinds of activities for that 3 hours and just invite everybody out to participate. So.
How about those individuals who happen to be over 60 who might be in Seattle for a football game and can't be there that day?
Stop by my office.
They're called lucky.
tell that person to stop by my office.
Okay, all right.
See, I planned that Saturday because the football game's away and it's in the afternoon, so we're clear to go that Saturday morning, unless you go to the game.
What do I
say? Yeah. So, okay. Thank you very much.
Marlon, you're up.
Start off with the zoning. I didn't want to mail these are the
thank God.
Yeah.
I seen it on my computer, some stuff, and I said I'm not printing all that stuff.
And so you can look over. The zoning commission will be meeting on this on Wednesday next week. I don't have enough because I gave one to Michelle.
Well, that's kind of a cool front, the barn there.
Yeah,
that's our county attorney.
So that is...
As a county attorney, did he get a copy?
Yes, he got a copy of it. It's all... What the proposal is to attach this to the old comp plan, put it ahead of it. It's got the updated numbers. The main projects like our plan to develop the South 66 Road and the Hickory Road projects are on there. They said don't put too many projects on because that becomes outdated pretty fast then. But that's our long-range plan, so them are in there. So moving right along to the Highway Department business.
Is there some time that we have to take action on this?
Yes, it'll come out for a hearing before the board.
Okay.
Probably in October.
Okay.
The Planning Commission has a hearing on next Wednesday. Then we'll have to advertise, and I think I was preliminary looking at the second board meeting in October. I'm not sure, but it'll be a hearing then before the board.
Well, this hearing you're having next Wednesday, this guy will be down here, or this firm will be down there to explain all the issues and changes and everything of that nature.
And they've been pretty good. They've been to most of our meetings. We asked them not to come to one meeting so we could discuss it. And come up with Planning Commission's plan, so everything's worked pretty good. In the consent agenda, you approved that authorized representatives for the last two storms. That was an issue that we needed to get accomplished. They're adding up all the March thaw figures right now. I'm assuming that's going good. And we go on to the agenda. We have approve or disapprove proceeding with using FEMA trailer for Highway Department office.
And at the committee meeting, I suggested to Marlon that I jump in here and kind of explain what we already know, that we basically informed him that talking one-on-one with most of us in comments 2 weeks ago, there really wasn't support for this, but when we left 2 weeks ago, we said we'd bring it up for a yes or no vote. I hope somebody's got some ideas for the FEMA trailer. We know that it's not the strongest structure and probably got some issues. Marlon did, just for information, put some numbers together. He figured about $22,290 would get it moved down there, electrical, plumbing, and the basement under it. And the basement he was looking at was just for added storage and the fact that there is no storm shelter at the Highway Department site, and all the buildings down there are, I suppose, well, every building is tornado prone, let's put it that way. So just relaying his thinking, again, we pretty much pre-warned him that there just really wasn't much support for that. So with that, I would recommend we move ahead with the votes and make any comments.
Gary?
earlier, Mark did have a couple ideas, Dave, for that trailer. We had to keep it so many months. He's going to check that date. But he had some other interest, he thought, somewhere. So I assume we'll just let him figure that out and maybe bring something to us. Or
should we just table this for...
I'd like to just vote it down.
No, I mean, as far as approve or disapprove proceedings with using FEMA trailer for a highway department office.
Yeah, we're clearly not going to want to do that.
No, okay.
And number two, we're clearly not going to want to do a basement. At least that's how I read the tea leaves. So, yeah. I would move that we disapprove proceeding with the FEMA trailer being used at our highway department. At least the public will know that we considered it, and I think that's good business to let them know that we went through the steps. So.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Fleece. Discussion. I guess I, for one, am not against using it, but I'm against using it with the basement. I mean, if you can use the space and it's, what are we going to do with the trailer anyway? If we're obligated by X amount of time, moving it down there cannot be that cost prohibitive. I mean,
it's kind of falling apart, though.
Is it falling apart?
I looked at it. Mark said the inside is, and me and Matt walked up when I was looking at it. I just think it's something we'll end up having to cost us money to haul it off eventually. I mean, that's just...
What you may have to do is, if you're not going to do it for that, you just may have to put it up as if it becomes ours finally by FEMA as surplus property and see if anybody wants to buy it.
He said 18 months, and he thought we had to advertise it for bids in.
Yeah.
But he said he had somebody halfway interested.
And then it's gone.
So before we talk about how bad it is, let's see if we can sell it first.
Understand.
Remember, you can't move it out in the county because it's not legal.
Yeah.
Marlon estimated roughly $8,000 to move it and set it up with electrical and water and that kind of stuff. Just to give you an idea, heating and air upgrade, $4,000, moving, $5,500, water and sewer, $1,000, electrical, $2,000.
But you may have somebody that bids on that in the county that could do a lot of that stuff, too, you know, if he's got a place to put it after it's surplus.
Yeah, you know? He was talking to set it up down on their property.
Yeah.
And if we wanted even a slab to put it on, which would be better than dirt, that's another $3,000. So I guess I'm in the camp of probably just forget it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, and again, maybe we can't forget it for 18 months. We've got to use it.
Well, the time's getting closer. Mark's going to find out the date, he said this morning.
So. Okay. Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. I'm assuming we can scrap number two then. Approve or disapprove basement for trailer for the highway.
I think just clean the agenda. I would move that we disapprove any consideration of building a basement for the trailer, which we already decided we weren't going to move.
Okay. Second. Moved by Anderson, second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0.
The next one is approve or disapprove resolution appointing RCs for the project number BR-3285, Unit 5. That's Philly North. Control number 12300, and we're working on the NEPA document on that, and so they need a responsible charge or charges appointed for that project for any correspondence. So, and that's the next one on our priority list after NY Moore and Adams Northwest. So.
And the resolution states you and Galen?
Yes.
Need a motion to approve or disapprove resolution number
1025. I would move we approve resolution number 1025, appointing the RCs for project number BR-3285, 5 Philly North, control number 12300.
I second that.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
The next thing is approve or disapprove resolutions or specification call for bids for 12 to 24 miles of armor coat. First half to be done, weather permitting, this fall, and second half, June, July of 2011. And I do have some specs here if you want to pass around a look. I got all the locations in there. There's 12 miles on the first portion of it. and there's a little more than that on the second portion, but the bid specifications allow for us to add or delete. So,
Mr. Chair, I'd ask Marlon, do you have temperature limitations?
Yes,
or,
we do. They're right in the bid specs. There's a 60-degree temperature. The asphalt's got to be at least 60 degrees when they put it down.
The roads, the old road surface?
Yeah.
I was going to say, we have done this successfully in September, but it's got to be the right kind of weather, and just so it's very clear in here that it's...
If it's
that both you representing the county and the contractor have to agree that the conditions are fit. They can't just go out and slap it down.
Right, and I did contact a couple of the contractors. One of them said they would have a window to do it in the end of September, first part of October, if the weather permitted. Otherwise, it would roll over till next summer.
What do you estimate if it is done this fall, start last September, first part of – how many days are you looking at?
Oh, once they get their material there, they can knock that out in 2-3 days.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's not something that the weather's going to all of a sudden turn bad on you. So
right. Yeah. If they have the material available, they can knock it out pretty fast.
And if the gravel is stockpiled, it could stay till spring too. I mean, that's the thing that where in here talk specifically about.
Locations.
Going to next spring, where's the verbiage on that?
I gave all my copies away.
Got locations, instructions.
We'll have to continue this. We have a 9 o'clock bid opening, so we will suspend this and continue it after the 9 o'clock. It's 9:03. Need a motion to, I guess, we close the bids last time.
I would move that we close the bid at 9:03. For the
used motor grader
2003 or newer.
Second. Moved by Fleece, second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Okay, where's the bids? Give them to our chairman there.
Off which way?
That he's our chairman over there. He needs it.
I don't have a knife, Ron. I have to use my finger.
You want me to come over with my knife?
No. Here. Stay over there with your knife.
One bid from.
Come on, Matt. You got something coming.
Don't get a paper cut.
That's nice.
It's only one anyway, sir.
One bid from Caterpillar. Price for one used motor grader, $150,005. The total trade value for the 1996 Caterpillar, which is the one we have, right, $54,500. Additional discounts, $48,000. I believe that represents our rental that we've already paid. And the total net machine bid with trade, $47,505.
$500 what?
$5.
$5, okay.
These are all the specs that Marlon had put together, and this is the only bid we have.
I thought it would be lower than that, but then, of course, I put in there 100% tires, and Chad had to put new tires on it, or is going to. So... That's part of the reason, and I didn't have enough in my tire line, but the tires were bald on it. They're about.
I would move we accept the bid as presented by Caterpillar. Is that?
Close the bids first.
Okay, close the bid.
Okay, close the bid. Yeah.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, second by Bauman.
Close
discussion to close the bidding. Discussion. Vote.
Right.
7-0 to approve.
Should have asked, I guess, what was our estimate in the budget for this? I was trying to find it when we went.
We were estimating 50.
Huh?
Estimated 50.
But you thought it'd be 35 to 40, though, didn't you?
I thought 40, but then when I added, you know, when I looked at the tires and we looked at, we had to fix the circle. It was had some issues, so that was kind of added on to the price, too.
Oil and gravel. that stretch needs to be.
We budgeted 50 because there would have been the tractor trailer that was 85, and we threw in 50, so that's right at 135,000. Pending approval.
I know we talked about two or three amounts in there, and so we're okay there then.
Okay, do we have a motion to approve or disapprove?
I guess I'll try it again.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Gary.
I support this because I did at the last meeting, too. It's kind of hard to get a competitive bid in this situation. I guess that bothers me a little bit. I still support it because of the situation. But Matt had talked before about figuring out a way to use some equipment, less equipment with more men, and I hope next year that whoever's on the board looks at that again because it was a good idea, and I know we discussed it with a couple of us. But I do support it because it is a good deal. I just don't like the idea that we couldn't get really a good competitive bid because of the situation.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Okay, Marlon, back to the farmer, Cody. You're welcome.
Thank you.
In your locations, where it says locations, on Area 1 and Area 2, which would be completed in fall if allowed, is completed by November 1st, weather permitting and temperature permitting on both of them. Then all the others are, you know, basically to be completed by August 1st of 2011. And I put that right in the bid specs because it spells it out a little better that way.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Just a note. 2 years ago, armor coating, we spent, would be 08-09, we spent $194,500. Last year, we spent none. We budgeted $120,000 this year. So,
in estimates I received from the contractors, they said around $10,000 a mile. So, hopefully, that $120,000 will do 12 miles. And I think it would be advantageous to lock in the price because you never know when you get another hurricane or a big oil disaster, it might go up by next summer. So
if it comes over that quite a ways, what of your priority, and it's on a unit price, which one is you want on there?
Like it says in there, we can knock off some or add some if allowed.
Yeah, I know, but which one?
Well,
which one of the Area 1, Area 2 locations where you're looking at this fall?
That's the two for this fall, and then the other locations for next year are Area 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, no, but which ones, if it falls too high, which ones are you going to cut out? You get my message?
What are you going to prioritize?
Well, and we can cut down on miles on either one if it...
Yeah, but which ones?
Well, they're all what we're trying to cover now is our best blacktop, because if we don't cover it, it's going to be our...
But which ones is the worst of the ones you're going to cover?
These are all projects that were overlaid in 2002, right before I started.
Yeah, but you're missing my point. Which ones of all those could be taken out of this contract and done at a later date?
Probably the... Southwest 32nd Road, that would be on the second lot, because that had been armor coated just a year when I started. But it's showing, you know, that...
No, it's showing, but that's the one that you feel probably is the least worst of all of them.
Right.
Okay. I guess that's my point. I mean, do you have a 1-2-3 priority so that if your bids come over what we can afford to spend, you know which ones are going to...
Yeah, we can...
I mean, you know that.
We've looked at all these roads, and we've got a list of priority, and these were the ones that...
I know you got a list, but you got to have a list as to which ones are the priorities you're not going to do.
I think Galen has that list by priority, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
So just to kind of sister off what Ron was saying... In accepting this bid, we're not necessarily guaranteeing that we will do all of these.
Right. It says right in there we could add or delete miles.
Very good. Okay.
And that's the reason that, you know, which ones are you going to delete? Yeah. Yes, is my point here, if we happen to go over.
Okay. And we had a motion, was that Matt and Dave on that? I'm looking the wrong way. No motion, need a motion to approve or disapprove.
I would so move that we would approve specifications and call for bids for 24 miles of armor coat.
Is that 9 o'clock time still open on September 22nd? Put that down.
Second.
Moved by Flea, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
In your packet, I gave you a letter that we talked about this at Road and Bridge, and I just wanted to bring everybody up to what we were proposing. Basically, it says discuss and approve or disapprove sending out letters to townships on brush, trees, and mowing enforcement policies. You have a copy of the letter there. And basically, we included a copy of what they could use if they needed it for a letter, or they can come up with their own. And then we were gonna, and then we are gonna furnish them with a copy of the statutes that apply to it.
Need a motion? Need a motion?
So moved. Excuse me. I was busy reading.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Groenewald. Discussion.
Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
So the townships, I know that there had been some desire, I think, to kind of turn this over to the county.
Right.
Quite a bit of a desire to do so. And so we're responsible for our roads, they're responsible for their roads, and they have to go through the same process we would, and it's not that we're shirking our responsibility, that's just part of their responsibility.
Right.
And so in the past, when we've helped them out, we've helped them out, but this is their responsibility, correct?
Right. Yeah. And I pointed that out in the letter that some of the townships are doing an excellent job, some of them maybe need to improve it. I didn't want to say a bad job, but just seems like, you know, they know the local landowners, they know who's the problems. And
if there's an opportunity where they need a little assistance moving forward, we're still available, but really they're the first line, if you will, correct?
And I think that's important to continue to emphasize. As long as they are a tax-supported entity, they are the first line of operation at the local level, whether it's road maintenance or safety or trees and shrubs or whatever. And hopefully we'll be very supportive and coordinate and do what we need to do. But I think if we can get all the townships to step up as well as the top handful, that'll be a big step. And then if things get too big or problematic or whatever, we should be there ready to help. But it's just very clear. They're responsible for their roads, and we're responsible for ours. So.
Denny?
This was the subject of conversation with attorneys that made presentations at the defense course out in Kearney for NACO. And there are some legal opinions that state that if the townships don't do this, it is our obligation to do it. Otherwise, we have liability if there were an accident or if there were other problems. So I think we need to be very careful and maybe get some consultation with our attorney on where the line stops between the township not doing something, even though it's their obligation, and we have to do it to protect ourselves from liability. So let's be real careful on this.
Dennis, was there any conversation, I wasn't at that meeting, about once the landowner is served notice that there's an issue there, if there's not compliance, how much liability then falls on the landowner as well?
They were talking liability to the counties. They weren't talking about that. But again, we might talk to our lawyers at NACO and see if they can give us.
For example, there's a 12-inch tree in the grader ditch, and the lady runs off the road and runs into the tree and gets severely injured. And this has happened. The attorneys are going to file against the landowner, the township, and the county. They always jointly file against everybody. And then the insurance companies sit down and generally sort it out, and very seldom goes to court, but could. But there's definitely joint liability.
If we were to notice that and the township didn't do anything and we ended up costing $500 to remove the tree or whatever, could we then go back and reduce the township's budget $500 the next year or assess them for that cost?
I suspect if we were brave enough, we could assess it. But
remember,
we just give them levy authority.
I know.
So there isn't any mechanism through that process to trim it or reclaim it. But we could certainly send them a bill. But again, those are things that need to be worked out among team players, not try to figure out where are we going to bump heads. I think it's premature to start.
But I could see one of them saying, well, we won't do it because the county will do it because they have some liability, and so they don't do it. I mean, it's just, and so we end up.
Well, let's just talk about how great it's going to be when they all see.
Are we heading to a layer of government that could be eliminated if ultimately we have to do it? If ultimately we're the final buck, ultimately.
Well, why don't we lay down and let the state cover all of our duties? You know, I mean, that's true at any, you know, at any level. You can always pass the buck to some degree, and I just hope they don't, you know.
Yeah, because the township is a form of county. The county is somewhat a subdivision of state, too, but legislature set out its our authorities and powers. So.
And what ultimately will happen, Rex, and I think that's probably what you're getting at, is if enough townships shirk their clearly cut legal duties, then the taxpayers and the citizens at some point revolt, and they petition to change it to a commissioner form of government, and you do away with them. And I mean, that's probably what has happened in a number of the counties across the state, where the townships have fallen down and not taken care of their duties. I mean, there is a mechanism for that. So if it gets too bad and too many townships just lay down and say, we quit. I hope we don't go there, but if we continue to get more and more rural, it may happen. We run out of people and younger people and willing people, and kind of like your EMTs. When do you run out of people willing to, you know, go through all the rigmarole for little reward kind of thing, and the next layer up has to take over at some point.
Marla?
The state statutes basically put it on the landowner. Of course, it's up to the local public agency to enforce it somewhat. But it is, you know, if I know the weed laws are probably a little clearer, but the tree and grass laws, you could possibly bill the landowners, you know, for it instead of the townships. But basically, that's where the statute's headed. So just going to add that comment.
Any more discussion?
Did you send the letters out already?
No. Okay. We're waiting for your approval.
I just think in all the budget hearings coming out, it'd be a good time.
Yeah,
to
we got 9:15. Well, okay. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Marlon, we're going to cut you off. We have a 9:15 timed.
Okay.
It is 9:20, hearing with elected officials and department heads on any alterations or amendments of proposed 10-11 budget.
Make a motion to open a public hearing.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion? Vote? 7-0 to open the public hearing.
We need a list to anyone who wants to come up and speak on behalf of their budget. So desires to come and speak on behalf of their budget.
I will. You want a list?
Yeah, it's sign-in sheet.
In my drawer, Michelle.
Steal your paper.
wants to be first.
Are you ready for me to come up?
We're yes. ready.
Somebody always has to be first, Marlins.
I know.
And since you've got the biggest budget, I guess that's why you're first, huh?
Well, there's several things I noticed on the last proposal that was different than the preliminary. And
I think is the case of everybody's proposal.
First of all, under my salary, it seems to be the last contract amount was $51,340.90. And then I don't know what happened. There was some withholding going on, and then they added it back. And so that figure isn't going to come out real good. I see it needing to be like $52,367.72.
Is that reflecting a 2%? Is that what you're insinuating?
Right, 2% plus.
Try to be clear here.
Plus the whatever happened last year, they started withholding some out, thinking there was going to be 27 pay periods. And so my salary, they're adding it on now, so it's basically, it'd probably even be more than that amount because we're in a different fiscal year. And that was line 1-0100. Then on 1-0401, I just wanted to point out that, and we've talked about this, I have two flaggers, part-time motor grader operator, and I'm quite sure that amount might not be enough, but we'll see what we can work out. And the same with the part-time clerical. Even at figuring 28 hours a week, maybe 10 months, that's about $10,584. And then I noticed the same on the, if you want to switch to the zoning budget, on the salaries was a little different. And because they did the same thing on that, was held some back, and then they're adding it in. And then just on the weed budget, the only thing is I proposed $1 an hour more for the weed superintendent. On my official estimate, that doesn't reflect that in there. I know there's no support for it, but I'd like to have that reflect that in there. And that amount was $6,323.20. And that would just be to get her up to what the average pay is for weed superintendents. Thanks.
Anyone else want to address the board on your budget? No? We're spoiling you if you don't want to talk to us. Okay, need a motion to close public hearing.
Moved
by Bauman. Seconded by Grunewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Need a motion to open public hearing for the...
The motion was to close the hearing?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Now we need a motion to open public hearing on the Gage County budget and setting the final tax rate.
Oh, let's see. I would approve a resolution 2010.
We got to have a public hearing first.
Okay.
You're one line off. There you go.
Public hearing. I'm sorry. For the 2010-2011.
Well, I guess we can't do it. It's 9:30 for that.
Okay. You're right.
Yeah. Marlon, can you finish up in about 4 minutes?
You betcha.
The next thing we had a disaster down at the Barnston South project. And we had that 5 inches of rain. We're getting everything straightened back out. We had the shoe fly just about wash out, big tree washed down on it. All of our stakes
I washed out. They had that, I don't know, was it last Wednesday night, about 5 inches down in there. So just wanted to bring you up to date on that. Other thing is we are seeding the South 66 Road, also known as the Zion Blacktop, seeding that road yesterday and today. Should be getting done with that today. Still doing a lot of hot mix overlays, and the dirt crew is putting in culverts right now. So that's about all I have.
We need a motion to approve resolution transferring $400,000 from general fund to road fund for maintenance and roads and operation of the road department 10-26.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson.
I'll second it.
Seconded by Gronewald. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. 2 minutes. Beth, can you do yours in 2 minutes?
Yeah. Probably. That's not fair.
I know it's not fair. So,
yeah.
I was really not expecting you to. I'm going to jump down and...
Mm-hmm. Nothing to jump down to.
There's nothing.
Can we discuss Windstream in 2 minutes?
No, I don't think we can any of it, really.
Yep.
What about the approving county officers inventory of county personal property? That's all turned in. Need a motion to approve or disapprove receiving county offices inventory of county personal property.
I would so move that we approve inventory for the county offices.
Moved by Fleece, second by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Now, you've got 2 more minutes.
Yeah, I'm watching it.
Yeah.
It's only got a few seconds left, so. And I do watch this clock here in front. That's the one that everything goes off of.
I know it's the only inventory that wasn't marked was Roden PNZ.
She says it's all in.
Well, and they give us theirs, and they have to do a report for the NDOR or whatever.
It's in the annual report,
yeah.
And that's quite a lengthy document.
Okay. 9:30, we need to open a public hearing for the Gage County budget and setting the final tax rate at a different amount than the prior tax request. Ron, you're up.
Who?
You started that one earlier. Do you want to?
No, I'm not.
Okay,
I'm
Matt.
Motion to open a public hearing.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Police. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Sign up sheets available. Anyone that wants to address the county board on the budget hearing? And I'll ask again. Anyone want to address the county board on the budget hearing? Need a motion to close the public hearing.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Fleece. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove resolution setting 2010-2011 tax request at a different rate than 2009-2010 request. It is resolution 10-27.
Make a motion to approve resolution 10-27 setting the tax request for 2010-2011 different than 09-10.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
Proposed tax request for 2010-2011 is actually less than last year. That's down 0.2 cents to 0.409978. Different from last year, which was 0.412199. Total proposed tax request That'll raise $7,916,000. $7,916,512.34.
And what is this year's request?
That is this year's request.
No, I mean the 0.4.
The proposed tax rate, 0.409978.
Almost 0.41.
Okay.
If you're rounding things off to the nearest,
yeah. So tax requests are down. Valuations were up. I think Patty said $16 million. I think we figured that brought in $72,000 more. We cut and held a lot of stuff to try and keep that down. So I think we'll be able to operate, barring any significant natural disaster. It's some of these tread water years. I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. There's a courthouse bond. When that gets paid off, you know, that bond's $620,000 this year. So when that falls off, we'll be in a better place. So
that amounts to 4 cents, but it doesn't help our 50-cent lid. This was that 4 cents for that bond is over and above what we were authorized by lid to spend. So it'll be a help to the taxpayers because they won't have that 4 cents on their taxable. Properties on it, so and I think we got about two years left on that, if I'm not mistaken. On it, so but when people need to realize again, like I said before, this it's a budget, there's going to be some changes, there's no doubt about it, coming up in the next year, and I'm sure it's about like Marlins, you know, say that, you know, the board proposed $6,000 of his $8,000 request for part-time clerical. I think if there's something comes up, or part-time workers, you look at a budget and then you say, okay, is there someplace else in my total budget that I can shift some stuff around, or how important or how of the $3.8 million. So, and I'm sure Matt will agree with me. A lot of times we'll go back and look at what's been the history on this. That's for that $6,000 that we ended up with, 08, 09, it was about 4,000. 09, 10 was about 4,000. Really, we increased it over what it's been for the last couple of years. And the same thing would apply to part-time salary for clerical. The last couple of years, it hasn't been a whole lot. This year, they spent a little bit over $2,300, so we put in our $5,000 for that, for the part-time clerical. So it isn't like we reduced it. We did reduce his request, but we didn't reduce the overall amount compared to what it's been the last couple of years.
Gary?
I just had one question. Marlon mentioned it, and Ron just did now. The part-time clerical, wasn't that due to some of these projects from the FEMA and all that? When, am I mistaken, or did we figure that when those kind of got cleared up and cleaned out, probably wouldn't need that part-time? Is that right? We talked about that when we said he could hire somebody to take care of somebody, because we had so many coming in all at once.
Some of it, I think, was, but some of it, I think, was also for this LPA.
Okay.
A lot of this paperwork that they're having to get in a report and keep track of it, I think. And we were using, I believe, somebody from the Southeast Community College, kind of like a
started out
intern.
Out as a co-op, and then we put it on part-time.
Part-time, so.
And the board approved 24 to 32 hours a week.
So. Yeah.
Okay.
I just want to thank the other elected offices, department heads, directors, agencies, as they turned in requests. I know we sent a letter out several months ago asking for no increases, and for the most part, everyone was really good, and the increases that did show up were fairly small, and there were some that had requests for an increase that just flat out didn't get it. And so I think that there is a recognition that what we're trying to do here is to cut spending, reduce spending, limit spending, and I want to thank those entities for recognizing kind of where we're at. But again, there's light at the end of the tunnel. I think we get some of this debt paid off, we're going to be in a in a better place, improving our infrastructure. It's a huge part of what we do, and as we move forward, look at continuing to fund where we can. And I think it worked really, really well. I would probably venture to say next year we'll probably have to have a lot of the agencies come forward, and as we have several new board members that will probably come on board to bring them up to speed so everyone has an appreciation. And we didn't do that this year. It wasn't because we didn't want to hear what was going on. I think everyone had a pretty good idea, and it was just kind of down to cutting. And I'll say that we had it leaned down pretty good, and probably to a point of needing to make the budget a little bit bigger, because you can get down so small where it becomes irresponsible to have that small of a budget, because if something happens, then you're in a world of hurt. And so I think we made a little bit of a reduction here. I think every year as we look at that, if we can, we'll try to reduce spending where we can.
I would like just to make a comment and commend the committee for their sensitivity to the not only the taxpayers of Gage County, but the people of Gage County who have needs, not just infrastructure, but other needs. And I think the committee was very sensitive to those needs, and I want to commend you for doing that and the cooperation of the elected officials also in making a good budget. I think you did a good job, and you're very sensitive.
Any more discussion?
I guess we don't realize all the little, not little, but a lot of the agencies outside of Gage County that's involved with this budget, which is, what, nearly $500,000 worth when you look at the total, and that's it. And that takes about three cents almost of the levy to fund those various agencies and the work that they do. So it's a part, total part of our entire budget for sure.
Gary.
Which one of these are we voting on to approve the budget? Are we to that yet?
The tax rate.
Oh, okay.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution adopting the county budget for fiscal 2010-2011, resolution number 10-28.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Fleece. Discussion.
Chairman, I'd just like to go through, and I made a synopsis. I can believe everyone has a sheet like this in front of them. It's two pages. Tried to go through every line item that was essentially in your proposed budget here, and just made a synopsis of the bottom right-hand number of the proposed budget versus what we approved last year. There's a right-hand column that says wages, and so I also went through each department because I think that a lot of folks are sensitive about wages. You hear a lot of stuff in the media about, you know, cutting and furloughs and things like that. And I think the amount that we're looking at proposed wages non-FOP is about $17,000-$18,000 of this budget. So I think what we really looked at was to see if we could lower our levy, but also continue to provide stuff for our employees, especially those who got nothing last year. So I think we were sensitive to that. But at the risk of going through the entire thing here, I think everyone can read for themselves. You can see where the expenses are proposed this year in the 2010-11 budget. And the second page, I guess, is really where I wanted to spend a little bit of time. If you go through and look at proposed wages, it's $3.9 million, almost $4 million of our expenditures. And, you know, we deal with people. We have employees. So that's just the part of any organization is a huge expense is wages, and that's no different than any organization. I think you've talked to anyone who has their own business or runs an organization. You look at the wage, and that's a huge line. So I think we need to manage that well. I think we've got a plan in place to do that. That's not going to be a burden to anyone, and we're trying to be responsible as we do that. Employee insurance is almost $1 million that we spend on employee insurance, and I think that we've had some really good experience over the last couple of years, and we're now going to start to fund an insurance fund. We're going to dump $20,000 into there this year and try to build that up so that if we do have a poor experience, we've got a money set aside so we don't have to scramble and try to come up with something more. But just know that there's $1 million there that we spend, and that sounds like a lot of money, but again, like Gary spoke before about the insurance, we've really done really well, and I think since we've been self-insured, there's been a saving of almost $700,000 is projected. So it's a big number, but it could be bigger if we weren't self-insured. Legal system here I put on there also, and this is the courts, the jail, the attorney's office almost $1.5 million of expenditures that we spend every year. And granted, some of those, some of the operations of those departments are just regular legal proceedings, but I guess what I wanted to point out, along with law enforcement, which is almost $1 million, it's $906,000 for Gus's budget, is look at all the money we spend and people not playing by the rules. And so that's somewhat frustrating, but that's a cost we have to have, and that's public safety as well. It's not all about locking people up and making criminals out of people. There's some process you have to go through, but there's a cost to that, and that's a responsibility of county government. There's been some, we all saw it this last year, the amount of money we had to put into the roads and our infrastructure and bridges when we have a bad storm. And you can look at almost $3.7 million that we put into roads. And I think that there's been some criticism that we need to put more money into roads, but then we also need to decrease the budget. Well, Marlin just doesn't buy cheap stuff. There's nothing that comes through on his expenditures that's inexpensive. But I think, again, that's an infrastructure issue that we are responsible for taking care of. So there's $3.7 million there. And then generally I threw in buildings and infrastructure. That's this building. That's proposed expenditures for our building across the street there. And that's over $1 million that we're having to spend there. So we're looking at where we're going to put our money. Those are some of the big ones that stick out there. And you know, roughly $8 million, that's what I talked about, $8 million worth of our expenditures that we're putting into employees, legal system, infrastructure, roads and bridge. Those are kind of our heavy hitters, if you will. So last thing I want to say is that the based on our valuations, for every cent we levy, it brings in $184,629. So look at where we're putting our money and look at the dollars that we raise in or that we bring in. So if there's any questions, we'll try to field those.
Did we do anything as to what percent of the total tax budget, taxing authority of all the subdivisions, this is what percent this is of? You know, people have a tendency, because they pay their taxes at the county treasurer's office, that all the tax monies that they're paying goes to Gates County. But I imagine you look at the percent of taxes that goes actually to Gates County of that total bill, and you're probably, what, 20?
Or probably mid-20s. 20 to 25%. An average tax receipt or tax bill to the taxpayer comes here. And of the, you know, throw out a number of $1.80 or $1.70, which is probably an average depending on which township you live into and school district, roughly 20% of that, 20, 24, 25% comes to us. The other money goes other places. And so that's an excellent point. You look at all the things that we're able to do as a county government, and I be careful, but I think that to some aspect you get a pretty good value for your money. Goes out there, and the infrastructure that we have and the employees we're trying to deal with and the offices that we're supporting with those tax dollars. So I think that's a pretty good deal. The other thing I think it's important to recognize and talk about is the capital equipment, if you will. We had an expense with the new motor grader. There's the rental motor grader that we just approved today, as well as the tractor trailer. One of the things that we looked at as a finance committee, and if you look in the budget on the road, you'll see an expenditure of $62,000, not $233,500, which was the expense of the motor grader. And what we decided, or what we're proposing that we do moving forward, because we would have had to, in order to keep the levy low, we would have had to pull those dollars out of inheritance. What we're looking at, and I contacted NACO, a NACO lease, if you will, we can stretch that payment out over 3 to 4 years. And if we do that over 4 years, our interest is about a percent and a half, and the payments are just under $62,000. And so what that does, it puts us in a better cash position. I wouldn't propose that we stay out there for 4 years, give ourselves a little bit of time to pay this off, again, a percent and a half, and then pay that off as soon as we can. But that way we're not using almost $234,000. That would put us in a real cash issue in order to spend those types of dollars. So we'll probably look at doing that. That's not any other, it'd be like an internal road bond that we've done before. So
and that's,
spread that out.
Matt, that's not something new for Gage County. I think if you probably look across Nebraska, probably there's quite a few of the counties that are are going that route?
And I would say that that was a recommendation that came out of the auditor, and that was probably where initially a lot of the slash and burn type cuts came from. Is how are we going to come up with almost $234,000 to pay for this motor grader? And a suggestion came out of there's other counties that have done this. It's very hard for people to write a check and pay that amount of money. And so the suggestion was stretch that out. It's super low interest rate. I hate to say free money, but, I mean, it's really low interest. And I think that puts us in a much better position. You always want to be careful of trying to use inheritance money for operations. So I think that was a recommendation that made a lot of sense for us to do that. And that's why you'll see that that doesn't show up as a total expense in his budget, but it would be an annual payment. And then even that we set up not to be monthly payments but quarterly payments. And I guess that's the other thing, and there's a lot of other things, but as we go through this, what we don't want and what I wouldn't encourage anyone to do is to submit a bill for their entire budget next month. I would encourage people to try to spend these over a period of time. Call the treasurer's office, call the clerk's office, make sure that there's the money out there to do that. Don't just, what I would call, slam the budget right away and try to spend all those dollars. Be responsible and recognize that if you can get away with not purchasing something for a couple months and someone else has to, we need to work together as government entities and call around and say, hey, I got this big purchase I got to make. Can anyone else put anything off? So I would encourage that communication to take place so that Lori's not calling Don and Don's calling me saying, we don't have the cash for it. We can't do that. It'd be nice to be on the front end because we certainly hate to have any elected official or department head have to call the vendor and say, we can't pay you. And I'm not saying that that's going to happen, but in the past we've had to, you know, ask people nicely that pay a little bit now and a little bit later. And that's just waiting on taxes to come in. It's just kind of a cash flow issue.
That's why you have what a cash reserve, about $1.5 million? Cash reserve. Is hopefully that cash reserve will get us through those times that those taxes don't come in during basically the three times during the year, September, January, and then again in May. So it's not a exact science, but you got to watch everything to make sure you got money there to pay for it.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Beth, you're up. Veterans. Update on Veterans Administration aid and attendance benefits.
Thank you for seeing me.
You're welcome.
We have a packet for you. has some information in there about aid in attendance. Aid in attendance is part of the Veterans Association, Veterans Office. I'm Beth Schuster. I'm the administrator at the Homestead House. This is Lori Johnson, sales and marketing for the Homestead House Assisted Living. It's kind of interesting that you guys are talking about budget. Our people that are in their 80s and 90s are watching their budget as well. But if you're a veteran, you have the opportunity to use the aid in attendance program. It's for the veterans and their spouses. Of course, with anything that has to do with Veterans Administration, there are eligibility recommendations that they do. They have to be in the military during wartime. They have to have different needs for assisted living for health-wise. It has to be a family income versus medical income, and they look at family assets as well. It's a great program. It's not known very well. What we're doing tomorrow at 3 at the Homestead House is we're bringing in Ron Shepard. He's a field examiner for the Veterans Office in Lincoln. And Lawrence Dewey Hensley from Veterans Financial. Now, our most and important person is our person that represents the veterans in the Veterans Office in Lincoln. Veterans Financial is there in case someone needs estate planning. Most folks in their 80s and 90s have already done estate planning. And so what we do is we give them this application and we tell them a little bit about it. I invite you all to be there at 3:00 tomorrow. It's something that you need to know about. It's a benefit for our veterans, and it's very little known about it. I'm going to give you a quick example. I had a gentleman that lived with me. He had Parkinson's. His wife lived at home. She didn't need assisted living. He was a veteran. She moved him there because she could not take care of him with his disease process. And so she moved him there with his income, a meager income, monthly income, and she used her meager income to have him there, which left her with little or nothing. We got the program going for him. It was very tedious because the family didn't have the answers. Where's his discharge papers? What unit was he in? All those things were not there. So I helped him with this. He has dementia because he can remember a lot of these things. It was a terrible battle. It was something that we should have probably done years before. And I think in your packet you'll see something that's very helpful for our veterans is the is what to get together before this happens. As Lori always says, it's not something that if it happens, it's when it happens, when you need this information, as everybody knows. Well, the gentleman, we finally got it started. It takes 4 to 6 months to process. However, when you get your application in and they send you a note that the application is in, then it will retro back to that date. So this was a great thing. His wife was putting all this money into his stay there, his medical expenses. She knew that she was going to get some of that money back, so when she needed assisted living or anything like that, that she could, you know, she could get some of this money back. He passed away before it was accepted. So it was a hard deal. So it kind of put us in tune to it. We want to get the word out. We want to make sure people know that this is something they need to put in place beforehand. We need some, we're trying to get some community support, some county support on this. There's, like I said, there's a, we're putting together a meeting tomorrow for you to understand it at 3:00 at the Homestead House. That's all I have. Is there any questions?
I presume you work closely with our Veterans Service Officer, Mr. Detbrenner.
We have.
Relative to these issues?
We have. We have given him information. He's chosen not to participate.
Okay.
And that is why we have somebody from the Lincoln's Veterans Office. You have to remember, the veterans are going to be wanting to see someone from the Veterans Office because that's who they're going to, you know, go to. That's important for them. That's why we have this gentleman is just anxious to be there. We just need to get the information out.
Well, why is he choosing not to participate?
I don't know. I don't know, Dennis. It's hard to understand. It's hard to understand that this is the application process. The application process is difficult.
I assume every assisted living facility can offer the same benefits.
For aid and attendance.
That's probably why he didn't pick one out to work with.
Well, and it's a community event, so anyone is available to be there.
Right.
We're just trying to.
This is a marketing tool by your organization, right?
It is a marketing tool by our organization, but it's also, my dad's a veteran. My grandfather's a veteran. I want to make sure that they've got the information. If they can't go to a county person to get that information, they need to get information someplace else. These folks shouldn't be, they should know this is out there. We've had situations where the veterans didn't know this was out there, and it concerns me.
Right. I think regardless of the assisted living physician, our veteran service officer should be making this available to all veterans as a benefit. And I can't understand why that he is not doing that.
Well, first of all, it's a very difficult. I have an elderly lady that stays with me, and her daughter works for the Veterans Administration in a higher echelon type position. I've talked to her about this. I did my homework. Knowledge is power. I don't want to promote anything that's not going to work, that's not going to be good. I talked to her. I said, tell me, Dorothy, about this. She says, it's a great program. I said, tell me why it's not being. She goes, because it's a tough, it's like anything else. It's paperwork. It's qualifying. It takes a lot of time. And so that's what they're seeing across the board, across the country.
Where does the money come from for your, you talk about your VA aid and attendance pension benefits of $1,000 to $1,900 per month tax-free? Where does that money come from?
From the Veterans Office, Administration
Federal?
Office. Yes.
Federal funding?
Yes.
Is that why it takes 4 to 6 weeks to get the
months
to get the application approved?
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's...
Are we offering anything like this from our office? The Veterans Service Office, is the packets available, the information available?
It is there in the lobby, right? Yes.
I'd recommend we ask Phil directly before we talk too much about him.
You know, and my purpose today, too, I agree with you, and my purpose today is I want you to be there so you can see, ask your questions. From what I have understood is, in the past, there's been some difficulties with people saying, oh, yes, if you do some estate planning with us, then we're going to do this, this, and this for you. And that's where I want it to be very careful. This is all about Veterans Administration. It's not about Veterans Financial. It's about Veterans Administration. Let me tell you what Veterans Financial does for me. They have partnership themselves with Assisted Living Concepts. What they do for me is when I help the gentleman with his application process, you know, it is, if you don't cross your T's and dot your I's, then they'll throw it back to you. I faxed it to them. They looked it over. They said, maybe change this, maybe change that. Thank you very much. And they faxed it. No strings attached. There's no estate planning. There wasn't any estate to plan. And so that was a service for me that was nice that Assisted Living Concepts has done that. But it's, to me, it's all about the veterans. It's all about those folks that are staying in my place. On the average of maybe 18 months, this benefit could keep them for 7 or 8 months longer in assisted living. That's like 10 years to everybody else, if you understand. So that's why we're promoting this. It's a promotion.
Do you have access to how many veterans are residents of Gage County that could be provided this information, that there is assistance available? I mean, does the federal government have that information that they provide?
There is, yes, there is a I'm not sure of the numbers, but there is a list. And we did send out an invitation to all those folks that would be interested. Some of our folks that are coming, you have to remember this is available to their spouse as well.
Right.
So we've had a large number of spouses, widows, that have come to us, which is very encouraging for us, for them. And we've also have a lot of folks that are in their 70s, and they're just making some plans. And that's the best way to do it.
70s. You're not a veteran.
So,
this is per month, isn't it?
Again.
The 1,056 to 1,949, this is per month.
Yes.
That they can get tax-free.
Yes.
So that amounts, you know, to quite a bit per year.
And it's kind of interesting, too, because, you know, right now the housing market is not very good. So if we have somebody who's in their house and they can't sell their house, but they really need to go to assisted living, they don't have to have their house sold, and they don't have to look at that as an income until the house sells, and then they will say, okay, we will stop this benefit until you go through the funds from your house that just sold. But they don't take that into account. So, and that's huge.
Matt? So really, Beth, as people look at any assisted living, this is just a program that helps them. And my understanding is, so when they come to you, then you would say, well, here's a program out there where whichever assisted living would be there, and you're looking for essentially a liaison to help step through the process and help you with that. Is that correct? Is that the request from?
Well, we have
looking for someone to,
from the homework that I've done, I feel pretty good that I can help them through this. And it seems like it's you know, we get phone calls, or I have folks that are veterans in the house already, and so we help them with this. I have the phone number of the person in the veterans office in Lincoln, and I'm looking forward to meeting him tomorrow. The Veterans Financial has been very helpful. I'm not sure, you know, how much their part is in this, except for me to say, please look this application over and let me know if I've made any mistakes to help these folks out. Or I might call and say, you know, this is what this person is doing. And they've hooked up with Assisted Living Concepts for a resource for us. And then if there's somebody that does want to say, I need some estate planning, they'll give them a call and they'll work with them. But
so this, from what I'm saying, is this is, as I say, news release across the top. There's an awareness issue out there where folks need to be made aware of this. Is
yes,
that,
yes, exactly.
Because right now this kind of flies under the radar.
Well, you know, it's like anything else, and I don't want to be judgmental. I want to be fair. You know, if my daughter's going to university and there's a scholarship out there, I've got to go looking for it, and I've got to hopefully have a liaison in that financial department that's going to help me with this.
Sure.
Because I can't figure out all the loopholes and all the bumps along the way. And so we're just, like I said, knowledge is power. We're telling you what's out there. At 3 o'clock tomorrow, we're going to get a little bit more in-depth on it, and we've got a good list of folks that are coming tomorrow. So.
If you're in Wymore, Nebraska, is there a system living in Wymore? I'm sure there is.
No, there isn't.
Oh, Good Sam doesn't have a system.
That's nursing.
Okay. But what about Gold Crest?
That's different, huh?
That does have an assisted living,
okay,
yes.
So, I'm assuming, aware of this so they can assist getting information to those people.
You know, I think they're aware of it. We've talked to, you know, the Kensington or Good Samaritan or Goldcrest, anything. They're not working with it as much as Assisted Living Concepts is. You know, Assisted Living Concepts has found it. They want to work with it. They know it's out there. And like I said, I had to be very careful before I wanted to promote this in my community, and so I did my homework, and I'm real thrilled with it, especially for our veteran spouses, too, you know, who in some situations are living, you know, month to month. So
it's like a lot of federal programs. It's amazing how few people understand or realize there is assistance available to them, and are not taking advantage of it because they don't know any. They don't know that it's out there for them.
There's a lot of programs in every area, I think, that.
And maybe that's why it takes 4 to 6 months to get an application approved.
But the nice thing is that once they get that application, it can retro back to when they received it. So it is the process. Yeah.
People look at that and they say, "Oh, 4 to 6 months."
Yeah.
They just kind of throw up their arms and just. You know.
Well, and like I said, Lori put in here a list of forms and papers you will need. That was the biggest. That takes the longest into finding those papers. So, you know, this will go home with a lot of people tomorrow, and they'll start thinking about it and saying, where is those discharge papers? And, you know, get it all in one file. So.
Okay. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
10-minute recess. Point of privilege for Ron, even though he didn't. Reconvene the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. Discuss and approve or disapprove health insurance plan.
That'd be mine, I guess, Rex. I thought we'd have some exact figures today. I probably don't want to move ahead with a vote on it until we get the exact cost. I think Don's or the clerk's office supplied us all with this email from Sam Nigro. Did y'all have a chance to look at it? It kind of made some of the points that he was talking about, looking at the different proposals that we had had as an insurance committee. The Independence American Group renewal was the lowest overall fixed cost. The renewal with a $500 single deductible would be an overall fixed and expected claims increase of 8%. I think the one that the committee was looking at the hardest was the renewal with a $1,000 single deductible, because that was an increase of only 5%. And we talked about going to this HRA where it actually is a $1,000 deductible, but because we didn't have as many people, that it saves us money on the upfront cost, I guess is how I should say that. And we only had 20-some people, I believe it says here 25, that would have ever got to that. So it saves us a lot of money on the upfront cost, and the county would come in and pay the other $500 on that if we get past that point. So as far as the cost to administrate this, he don't have the exact figure, so I think with your approval, I would wait and introduce introduce a motion for approve or disapprove at the next meeting so we know exactly what it's going to cost so we're not just shooting in the dark.
Okay, so no action on...
I would ask that we don't do any action until we have the exact cost to be in the what we approve. Would you all agree with that?
Okay.
Any indication by going this $1,000 deductible, Gary, as to what percent that might bring down that premium? They didn't want to say, or
well, we know the difference between the 500 and the 1,000 is 3%.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
okay,
right. Yeah. Sure. So that's a big savings, and with what Matt said earlier, Sam told us we've saved about $750,000, and so another thing I think we'll talk about that dovetails with this is a wellness plan. But for this today, since Sam doesn't have the numbers, I had written the motion up, but I don't think until we have the exact cost, we want to, you know, just say up to so much. I think we want to know exactly what it's going to be. So hopefully we'll have that at the next meeting, and you'll see it again for an approve or disapprove when we have exactly what we need to know.
You have, what is that contract? It's October 1, no. I believe.
He means on the
yeah, month. I believe.
Seems like that's...
I think that's right.
Anyway. Seems like October 1's the date of the contract.
Yeah.
We can do it at the next meeting, and
yeah,
we'll have time.
Okay.
So we still
have a week.
Chair.
Dave?
I'd like to just comment, and I don't know how the press could maybe word it clearer, but like last 2 weeks ago, it kind of came out that we were considering, I think, a $1,000 deductible. It's tough to explain. The fact is it wouldn't change for the employee. It would stay at 500.
Yeah, it actually isn't.
If I were an employee, my ears would have perked up and said, what the heck? The effective deductible for the employee remains at 500, with the county picking up the difference for those who exceed the 500.
There you go.
Up to 1,000.
Up to 1,000. Yeah. Up to 1,000. So...
if you look at what other counties have,
if somebody could get that into a quotable sentence that the press could use, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. Did you? Good. Because I was wondering that.
At any rate, compared to what other counties have experienced and some increases by not being self-funded, I think Gage County's moved ahead, and this has just been nothing but a positive. I don't know what else we can say about it. For the taxpayers, this is a huge savings, and we're just glad we've done it.
It would be interesting if NACO would ever provide information to us about what these type of plans are costing counties throughout the state of Nebraska and how ours compare with counties and what some of the benefits are. And
well, NACO, quite frankly, is heavily subsidized by Blue Cross Blue Shield, so they're probably not going to provide a whole lot of information on self-insurance plans.
Actually, I think it's important to point out that the proposed savings that we had, actually, Sam used at the first meeting we had back, he used other counties' Blue Cross numbers. And that's where he said, if you'd have stayed there, you'd be here. And since you're here, this is the divide. So they kind of did that, and they showed that's where the 700 proposed was coming from. It's not true savings, but if we'd have stayed there,
we would have spent it.
And he used Blue Cross.
But our people did. NACO didn't.
Right.
Correct.
Correct.
The organization don't talk about
it. No.
Yeah. NACO didn't come back and say, hey, you guys, we're using Blue Cross, but by you guys using this, it's going to save you $750,000.
Yeah.
You think they would have done that?
Yeah.
Well, they should have. We pay our dues for information like this. This
I
is what
the reality is. Probably two-thirds of their income comes from the insurance.
Well, yeah, but they could maybe knock that down a little bit and not get quite two-thirds. They can get maybe... 860%.
Well, the main thing is
double the dues, and
the main thing is this board in its wisdom before I came back on made that decision. It was an excellent decision. The decision you made to go with this procedure was well thought out and has made sense and has made a substantial difference to the taxpayers in this county and giving our employees the kind of program that they need. So you all ought to be commended.
We had some good advice back at that time too, if I remember right.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Okay, so no action on that today. Discuss Windstream's performance regarding the courthouse remodel.
The cycle.
Rex, Mr. Daggiford asked me to put on there so he could address the board. He called me this morning and decided that he didn't want to do it.
Okay.
End of story.
Approve or disapprove a approving claim for Wheeling Engineers?
Motion to approve.
You can't. You or I can't bring it to the table.
But I can.
Has to be the prevailing side of last vote. Sorry.
Well, I was absent, so I assume I can proceed.
Correct.
I would move that we approve paying the claim for wedding engineers as presented previously.
Moved by Barnard.
Second it?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think you can. You can vote on it once it gets there, but you or I can't. Okay, I'm going to ask second time. Is there a second to the motion to approve the claim for Wheeling Engineering?
For discussion purposes, I think we need to talk a little bit. I'll second it.
Okay. Moved or seconded by Anderson. Discussion, Dave?
I don't have any.
Well, I've got some, and I wasn't at the meeting when this came forward, Rex, but is it correct to say that our attorney said we owe the money?
That is correct.
So if we owe the money, why wouldn't we pay it?
Well, I don't think, not that we don't owe him money. I think it's the amount of money that we owe him. I think that's the issue. We did pay him an amount of, we paid him $7,300.
Okay.
And $7,307 of his total bill.
What was his total?
$13,382.24. Shortly after receiving that bill from him, we contacted who should have been contacted in the first place, our county engineer, surveyor.
Okay.
And asked him to present to us with the type of work that we needed to have done, to have the survey of the courthouse and what was done, what was his charge would have been. And it would have been the $7,307. Or $6,000. He would have only charged $7,307.
Did he already know what we had paid Whaling?
Oh, no, because the claim had not been approved at that time.
How did, just for clarification, and so I got it straight in my mind, who ordered the survey, us or the architect?
The architect ordered the survey. And
For us.
In talking to Whaling, he thought that was the county surveyor because we told him to contact the county surveyor to do this work for us, and he assumed that it was the county surveyor. Now, the question may also arise is why did Whaling not ask our architect, is why are you asking me to do it? How come he didn't ask the county surveyor? And that would have cleared it up right there.
So, did he understand everything, how you just explained it, though? Did Bill Whaling know that? I guess that's my question.
Well,
if the architect called me and he say, hey, I was supposed to get a hold of the county surveyor and hire him to do this.
Yeah, at that point in time,
he did.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom sentence of Mr. Schreiner's reply. A county agent hired an individual to do work. The work was done, and now there is money owed. And that is how Rick ended his...
And so, but there was money owed, of which we did pay some of it. He's just saying that we should pay more of it. And
okay, my next question is, when our agent, which is our architect, hires other people and their bills come in higher than they were supposed to, we just call it a change order and pay those.
If there's a legitimate reason for that change order.
Well, yeah. You can get another contractor come in and say, I'd have done it cheaper.
Well, we did. We got a hold of our county surveyor.
No, but I mean, it's on the other, if our architects are agents and he hires people and we've allowed him to act as our agent and create a liability and obligations to the county, I don't know. It seems to me like when the architect, like I said, we call them change orders the rest of the time.
But we didn't have nothing to compare it to either.
Now, the thing about... kind of a tough comparison because change orders we've had the right to review and or add, and most of the change orders are actually adds. They weren't, you know, mistakes or changes or false discoveries. We decided to do something else. So I'm a little reluctant about comparing the two. It seems to us, though, it is a legitimate bill that is owed. You know, you go to a mechanic and he charges you an arm and leg and you get it back. You don't say, well, gee, I think I'm only going to pay you half of that because I think your work is only worth half of what you charged me. I mean, you just, in my mind, can't do that. I feel like the attorney that we owe the bill, if somebody made a mistake, it was probably our architect that didn't go to our county attorney or county surveyor as he should have, and he should have been wise to the fact that Whaling wasn't, it was a mistake. But to me, we ought to be, if we're going to pursue it on behalf of the taxpayers and try to reclaim that money, it ought to be from our architect,
yes,
not from Whaling. I'll probably support, you know, going ahead and paying the claims. I think it was an honest claim. Yes, is he high priced? We've known he's high priced for years, so I shouldn't have said that either, I guess, but I think it's owed, and with the attorney's opinion, that's how I'm probably going to vote.
If he did take us to court, our attorney's telling us we don't have a defense. And that's what our attorney says. But whether we would or not, I guess we wouldn't know that. But, and I don't believe he'll do that. But I just, that's why I put it on there. I felt like even if it was a mistake, we owe the man the money.
Not saying we don't, but everything's negotiable.
Oh, I got the motion in a second, so whatever the pleasure.
Okay, any more discussion? Vote. In favor, Anderson, Groenewald, Bauman, Adams, Barnard. Against, Fleece, abstaining is Byers. Approve or disapprove change order number 26 for the installation of an exit light near the first floor ground level west stairs as requested by the, as required by the state fire marshal.
Oh, you've got a copy of that in front of you. This was not one that we felt was needed, but the state fire marshal said it was needed, and therefore it's costing $294 to install one exit light in a corridor, and that would be what we call ground floor.
I make a motion to approve change order 26.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Anderson. Discussion. Vote. Ron, are you still on?
Sorry.
No. 7-0.
I wanted to show my bright light is back again.
It's back. discuss and approve or disapprove county insurance covering flu shots for eligible county employees.
I would make a motion to approve that, but cost on that, was that $10 an employee? What?
I don't know who put it on.
What did we do that last year?
Don put it on for.
I don't think everyone took one. It was a negligible cost, but
yeah, I can't remember what it was per person.
I think it was up to the individual because some of us were on Medicare and, you know, old enough to be on Medicare, so we get ours that way anyway. And somebody may have another plan that they're on that pays for it, and therefore they don't do it. And
this isn't spouses. This is. I don't think there were that many. I don't think we incurred that much of a cost last year.
Well, the spouses could do it, but they had to pay for it.
Correct. They had to pay for it. Our cost was only for the county employee.
Right.
They got a tally on how many wanted it beforehand and turned it in, I believe, so we knew.
I remember that.
I think if I recall right, we did approve covering of that last year, and I would see no reason why we wouldn't do it the same.
Let's see if I can find
what we moved.
Second.
To approve.
Okay. Moved by Anderson, seconded by Byers. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove request from wellness program providers for recommendations to insurance committee for county employee wellness program.
Rex, did everybody get this in their packets before and look at it and go through it?
Was it 2 weeks ago?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's got some interesting information. It really outlines, Sam, I believe, provided us with this. It outlines two different levels of a wellness program that we've talked about before. Sam encouraged us, I believe you were there, Danny, and I know Matt was, that we should get started with something. How far we want to go, I don't know. But until we, I think, my motion is going to be that we approve asking for requests from wellness program providers for recommendations to the insurance committee so we can get all the local providers, or if we don't have anybody local that can do what we want, we get providers to come in and use this as kind of a template and tell them this is what we're kind of looking at. What can you offer us and what would you suggest? And then we could go through there. And the second step would be to, as an insurance committee, figure out which way we want to go with input from the employees, and then bring forth a motion at that time with the cost and possibly a contract to get this thing started. Does that make sense to everybody?
I noticed in the one of the papers this morning, Heidemann was giving recommendations, or not recommendations, but applauding what Eder Subdivisions and county government had done in implementing a this wellness program of what is meant to make the employees healthier, et cetera, et cetera. So I wonder by that, if he mentioned several subdivisions, several organizations that were doing this, I wonder, is there any reason to maybe contact some of these people to say how this has benefited them?
We might,
both on an insurance cost and also making people healthier so they'll work more.
I think when we start a program like this, it's always in a phase situation to get everybody, try to get people on board and used to what we're doing. I think it could be a couple of years program maybe to progress. Danny has a lot of expertise in this. I'm
absolutely totally in favor of this. I think any kind of preventive issues that you have available to you is going to improve health care and decrease costs over the years. And I think, as is noted in Congress's health care reform plan, they emphasize many of those issues. And I think we can't discard those and just say, hey. So I'm totally in support of this, and any preventive type of issues that we can deal with, I think we should.
If you have a program like this, does it become mandatory, or does it?
We don't know yet. Yeah. I think at some point, Denny, would it be, or Matt, would it be safe to say it could impact on what the employee's cost share is on their premium? Sure. Probably. Not that we would, but it's a possibility.
Yeah.
Well, there's always a potential that we, as administrating a self-funded plan, we could make requirements, and those who use less or are in better shape potentially could pay less premium.
And they should.
And those at higher risk potentially could pay more.
I think you have to have something like that as an incentive, or you've got to have people saying, you know, I don't want to do it. It's no benefit to me because I don't want to do it.
That's why I think it's a step where we kind of step into it and see what we get for response. That's all I've got on it.
Okay.
There's no motion?
Yeah, I did. I made the motion.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Barnard, second by Bauman. Discussion?
I think first step could be, like, remove all the hot plates from the...
Vote. 7-0.
Cakes, all the cakes and cookies and...
Approve or disapprove quotes from Lammel Plumbing for electric boiler for handicap entrance ramp for $8,835 and from Philippi Electric to hook up boiler for $2,711.56.
You want to explain this little...
Good morning. I got three bids on this. The low one came in with Lammel's. And we had the electrician price his part separately also. This will be for the boiler for feeding the heated ramps on the east side, the northeast corner, and for a future ramp on the north side. So this would be an all-electric ramp.
What's the size of the boiler? There's no size to them, or it just provides so much?
These are bid per spec.
I notice it doesn't really, it just says to provide the necessary, install a boiler that would provide the sidewalk ramp heat specifications provided by Gary Engineering.
It called out for a thermolic electric boiler. It gives a model number. 35 kW input, 208 volt, three phase.
Yeah. But it's like if you had a gas one, it's not a 50 gallon or 100 gallons. It's just so that the boiler is of a size, and whatever it does, it'll heat up.
Right.
It's going to heat it up all the time.
It'll have the sensors. That water will be heated running through it, and as whenever that temperature reaches below that certain temperature, it's always going to circulate that warm water.
Hey, you all realize why we're going this route, because we no longer have a gas boiler that was there before and hot water heaters. So,
just a question, maybe too practical, but why not just an electric water heater with a recirculating pump?
That
seems awful complicated, just to run hot water through some tubing.
Would work. There are a lot of things involved. Wim could probably explain it better, but I do know it does take quite a bit of a heated water, and then it does go through some expansion tanks and things like that. If it were a real small area, I think they do use a hot water heater for that. But this is actually, it is just a smaller super hot water heater is what it comes down to.
Super duper one.
What you on that map, if I may, what this is in a water heater type system, again, because we're dealing with a larger scale here, it would have been a very large unit to use a water heater. Basically what this unit is it's more like what everybody's using on the residential anymore with the inline, instead of having a water heater in the house that works 24 hours a day, everybody's going to or starting to change over to these on-demand water heaters, which are under the sink or close to where the water's being used, and then it heats it as you use it. This works on the same principle. And because we have heating and cooling, Dave mentioned the expansion tanks that are needed to keep the pressures in the lines even. And there's only a few months out of the year that we'd actually be using this. If we went to that water heater type system, we'd have a large piece of equipment that would have to be shut down, summerized, so that it could sit all summer without being used and then brought back up. You'd have a maintenance program that you'd have to attend to that twice a year rather than this system that just turns on and off, if that helps, on why we went with this. It's basically a real large inline on-demand water heater, which will work. The one that we had in here before was gas-operated, and we made a decision during construction to eliminate the gas usage in the building because that water heater that we had for the sidewalk was the only thing left in the building that was using gas. So we decided to go to this electric route. the water heater that Dave had here was about two-thirds of its way through its life cycle as far as how long it was going to last. It was also showing signs over the last few years of not being able to keep the ramp out there on the east side clear, and Dave was having to attend to that anyway. With the addition of the ramp that we put in for Dave for the service entrance, that kind of went, it was pushing that existing gas water heater just too far. It wasn't going to be able to keep up, and we knew that. So we were going to have to do it with something to replace it. And then we also have, as he mentioned, on the north side, the potential for putting another ramp in out there. This system now is going to handle any requirements that you can throw at it now, at least the ones we've thought about.
Thank you.
Do we have a motion to approve?
I don't remember.
I would move that we approve the quotes from Lammo Plumbing for electric boiler and handicap entrance for $88.35 and from Philippi Electric to hook up boiler for $27.1156.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I must apologize. I have to leave. You know, I've got a wife's got an appointment up in Lincoln.
He'd already told me you had to, so I thank you, though.
Got a quarter to.
Approve or disapprove quote from Philippi Electric for conduits and bases for safety and historical lighting for $4,975.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Anderson. Discussion?
my understanding is this is a security lighting on the west or the east side, and the funding for this would come out of the Fred Karsten's lighting. Is that I think we had discussed doing that.
We discussed the lighting for that was actually we ran additional conduit and additional electrical where our lights are outside already, and that would be for the winter lights and any event outside. We needed to run additional circuits for that, so that took up quite a bit of that.
Well, this isn't. Well, I guess my point is not, I don't want to leapfrog what you're going to talk about here, but this is not a change order. Right?
No, this is new.
It's just something additional that we're
this
doing.
This is for the ones along the entrance going east and then against the east sidewalk, north-south. I think there's 10 historic lightings.
Right.
And then I suppose outlets for other – well, each post has an outlet on it anyway.
Right.
Well, when and if we get to that point, but – but as to where it was getting paid out of, I just figured building and grounds. I don't think it has anything to do with that Karsten's fund.
We brought up that Fred Karsten's fund before, and that was for lighting. It was supposed to be used for lighting, and we did use it for running additional lights out to the lights that we have now, mainly when the Homestead Harmonizers and all that are for the winter lights. We did not ever have any electrical out there for them, and they do run theater lighting and all that, so we needed quite a bit of supply for that.
Any more discussion, Gary?
Yeah, is there a layout or a drawing that's been done so we can kind of know where those, how the lights are going to be out there? I've never seen anything.
We do. I do not have it.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Wim, do you have that with you? We talked about last week in some detail, but
I may have a drawing, but
is it a design of light that we're going to be able to get more when you want to do the rest of it?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I don't need it today if you don't have it. That's all right. Well, if you got it, I'll look at it.
I've got something here that I've used as a...
This is geared off of the security of the east side of the building where it's so dark leaving. It's security of our people.
This puts all the infrastructure in place to be able to hook everything up that we want to hook up for safety and for the decorative appearance of the courthouse. And
yeah,
it seemed very logical as far as I was concerned and very well thought out. So I certainly would recommend approval.
Do it at the same time. So any more discussion? Vote.
Did we have a motion?
Yes. Matt and Dave. Vote. There you go. Ron is absent. There you go. 6-0. Approve or disapprove quote from Wallenberg Construction for 12-inch porcelain tile and baseboard for ground floor corridor in the amount of $17,403.69. And that's ground floor then, Davey?
This is ground floor corridor. When we had the asbestos removal, we did remove our 9-inch. They were asbestos tiles. And so at this time, to replace it, I had three different people bid out the same type of tile. This is a high-quality tile. We do have quartz tile or quarry tile in the middle, and that has held up for 50 years. I felt like this was a real good solution to go ahead and put a very durable floor down at this time, just in case, since it is ground floor, in case the sump pumps failed or anything, and we would get moisture downstairs, this would be a waterproof type flooring, and this would also include the ground floor restroom and all of the baseboard along the sides of the hall.
My question is, Davey, are they doing this over the weekend then, or so how are they just...
They can work around that schedule. They said they would probably do half of the floor and then the other half. They can, and they probably would include the weekend also for the grout part of it. But he said they could actually do this during working hours.
I think the key selling point to me was he talks about the baseboard, and of course with this you have basically a waterproof floor when you're done.
You get a shower bottom.
Yeah, and sooner or later we're going to have water issues. I mean, it's just, you know, we got a 7-inch rain.
Matt saw that one night where it,
There's water actually outside that door that was up on the wall or up on the door on the outside, 6 or 8 inches.
Oh, no.
I think we had a five-inch rain that night, and it did overtake our sump pump. So it's nice to have something waterproof.
The thing is, if you have like a 4 or 6-inch baseboard, whatever you're planning, you know, you won't get to soak up into your drywall and stuff. That gives you a little margin of safety there.
Right.
So I would encourage it, and so move, I guess.
Okay.
Second.
Moved by Anderson, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote 6-0 to approve. Discuss tree removal and tree trimmings on courthouse grounds for landscaping improvements.
I did call the extension office, and Paul Hay, Larry Germer came out and made some recommendations. I always had some concerns. We have two large old hackberries. They're nice trees, but they are to the point where there is some fungus growing up around the crotch area of them, and they said that they both were hollow. They recommended that we do take them out before a storm does come and blow them down, and they're close to the highway. I was always concerned that they would blow down right onto the highway. So we did a walk around, and I did come up with, at this time, while we do have the construction, all the yard is tore up and everything, to remove one ornamental tree, two hackberries. We have an old Austrian pine right on the corner here, and one blue spruce on the south side that looks real rough, too, on the southwest corner that's looking really rough. I think this would be a good time to clean up the trees that we do have. It would improve the yard a lot. We need to do some serious trimming on the trees that we do have. And I don't know exactly when. It's been more than 10 years ago. They planted some white oaks in the yard, and they are underneath some of these trees, and they're not getting a chance to grow. If we do remove these hackberries, that would create an environment for these white oaks to take off and do what they were supposed to do.
Gary?
Would that mean you'd transplant the white oaks to a different location, possibly?
We have one white oak that is in the right location. There's a second one there that's too close to this pin oak. I would like to see it spaded up and moved over another 20 feet or so closer.
I guess the evergreens also obscure the view from the street, this beautiful building that we're rehabilitating, and you can't see it.
They do.
I think maybe years ago, you know, everybody planted trees kind of where they thought they'd look good, maybe without thinking of what happens when they grow up big.
Right.
So I would encourage this board or to have Dave or whatever do what he thinks would be necessary to take care of the yard so people can actually see the building and get rid of the old stuff that needs to go.
Well, I think you're talking a safety issue on some of those trees, and you're talking disease and a couple of others. So it's not a matter of we just want to take these trees out just to make ourselves feel better. It's their safety.
Correct. And there are a lot of, the rest of the trees are in good shape, and with a little pruning, they'll really do well. So this would be just more or less cleaning up the yard at this time.
I think if you just have a short plan of what you're, like you're talking about, the reasons behind it, and then that way it can be entered in, and it's not just arbitrarily done. There's a reason for it, so.
All right.
And I take it we'd have to wait 2 weeks. It doesn't say approve and disapprove on the agenda.
Correct.
And that would give maybe you and the county extension agent to provide us with a little map and the public. And
oh,
like
boy,
you say,
Paul will eat that up.
Yeah, enter that
we'll
into the record.
We'll have a book.
Okay. You think, I mean, like I said, just something in writing with
sure.
Probably a chart, you know, or an aerial photo and say this goes, this gets moved here. And
okay.
So we know what we're voting on.
Yes, we can do that.
Okay. Anything else, Davey?
That is all I have.
Okay. Committee reports.
You've heard enough from the Finance Committee.
Okay.
Basically, building grounds, you've heard it all, pretty much what we're doing and what's going on. So.
Yeah, we are moving county court clerk's office up tomorrow. We're actually starting on it today, so they should be upstairs Friday, up and going. The phone system will get switched over. Americom is coming after 5 o'clock tomorrow and starting to switch over our phone system. So that'll really clean up the building a lot when we can get the old phone lines out of the hallways and out of the offices.
Okay, good. I would, Matt?
Sorry, just an update on the ambulance contracts for the rest of the BLS services outside of Beatrice. I have contacted all the squads and made a request that, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down by the end of September.
so we can take action on it or move forward, because we're already, there's only 10 months left in this contract. We would be looking at content for a new contract and at some point decide if they want to be part of it this year or not. So we'll try to get those, as many of those responses back to take action by the next, by the last meeting in September, and recognizing that some of the boards have to meet. So we may have something we have to take action on the first meeting in October. So just know that I'm kind of giving these folks at some point of finality. We've either got to decide to saddle up and ride together or look at it again next year.
Matt, do we have a signed contract from Wymore?
Not seen that.
Okay.
At this point, all we have is Beatrice.
It was approved by their city council, though. We just don't have a copy of it.
Correct.
So that's just an update. Hopefully in the next meeting or two, we'll be taking, have on the agenda approval of any of those that are out there. And Rick, right on time. Rick has...
less than 5 minutes.
Rick has seen that, so...
Okay, I'd like a motion to go into executive session to discuss personnel issues. Moved by Bauman, seconded by Barnard.
Chair.
Thank you.
Mentioned you earlier, I have to leave it last.
Yes.
So
nope.
Still got quorum.
Yes, so. Vote. 6-0. And I'm going to say, going to come out of executive session.
So move.
Second.
Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion? Vote? 5-0 with Anderson and Fleece absent. Anything else for the good of the order?
I'd like to bring up one more thing that we didn't cover regarding the site work outside the building on the property. In building committee, we came to a decision that... for timing reasons, for contractual reasons with the roofer, and for some other reasons, we decided that we were going to ask Cheever Construction to not install the sprinkler system, not do any of the site work, not reseed the site until next spring. There was just a lot of things. Some of this tree removal and all of that was included in that. There's some discussion about some sidewalk relocation that is going to be discussed at another time. So I approached Cheever Construction and said, can we entertain this? And they said, absolutely. They came back to me with a credit to the county of $9,301 for that work. They have taken responsibility for the site from the north sidewalk dividing the north lawn to the west diagonal here, which is roughly three-quarters of the site. They've left the rest of the site in the responsibility of Scott Enterprises, the roofer. Scott Enterprises is being difficult in negotiating what they feel like they have responsibility for in the repair and replacement of that. One of the things that was working to the advantage of the county, if Cheevers was willing to credit the county for the site work, it would then put the site work in the springtime strictly under the control of the county. And that, if we do have trouble with Scott Enterprises and coming to some kind of an agreement about the level of repair that needs to be done and their responsibility to pay for that, it eliminates Cheevers out of that whole negotiation. It just becomes an entity between, you know, an argument or a discussion between Scott Enterprises and the county then. I need to go through this $9,301 credit just to make sure that there's some fine things that Dave and I were just discussing here a minute ago, like all of the flagpole holders that are around the site. I'm not sure that the replacement or the return of those back on the Cheever site has been considered in this number. So this may go up a little bit. But even still, we talked about this in the building committee, and I know that everybody on that committee wanted it to be brought up here at the board meeting, that we were heading down that road of getting a credit back from Cheevers, releasing them from that responsibility, and then that gives the county until spring or whenever they, whenever you deem necessary to put all of that work together.
And that's absolutely correct, and I forgot to bring it up after Ron left, and that's true.
Do we have any holdback money left on the roofer?
Yes, you have $53,000, I believe, in retainage, so we have some leverage. Yes, and they submitted a pay request after we had a fairly heated discussion out in the yard on Monday about them not living up to their responsibility. They saw it fit to send me a change or a pay request the next day for. So I've went through that very carefully and found numerous errors and asked them to resubmit that. I played around with waiting till my last day of obligation to look at it and then having that discussion with them, but I thought, well, there's no sense being the first one to shoot if you can hold off and see where they're going to shoot first. So under advisement from Jerry, he said, just don't make it worse. Let them make it worse.
Shoot, so. You've been hanging out with Governor Palin again?
So I wanted to bring that up to everyone so you were aware of what was going on with the site work. What the contingency plan is, and Dave and I and probably the building committee needs to come up with a date or a plan for throwing ryegrass or oatgrass out in the very near future to get some kind of ground cover on here for the winter. And then it won't come up in the spring. We can strip the lawn and put the turf down that you want in the springtime after the sprinkler system's been put in. So we do have a plan of covering up the dirt for the winter, and I think it's in the county's best interest, I think it's in everybody's best interest to delay this site work until springtime. That'll give us time to work out any differences with Scott Enterprises, and like I said, all of the things that we're now talking about, tree removal, sidewalk relocation, and all that kind of stuff. So it gives us a little more time to think things through rather than. And Doug Dixon, who was contracted by Cheevers to do all of this work here locally, he was nice enough to tear up Cheevers' contract and re-enter an agreement, which he's working with Rick Schreiner on right now, re-enter an agreement here with the county so that he's got a contract that he thought he had that we took away from him, and now we're trying to get that all settled out so everybody's happy through the winter here and Doug can come in the summer and put all
this
work in.
What was his contract with Cheever?
Doug Dixon was contracted with Cheever. One thing that I had a discussion with Rick about when this came up on Thursday last week at the building committee meeting was whether or not we were going to have to rebid this whole thing in the spring. And so the solution that Rick gave me was get me the three bids that Cheevers took in order to arrive at hiring Doug Dixon. And so I have copies of all of that paperwork here that Cheevers took, which, as far as I know, were all, well, here's a Lincoln.
Those bids, technically those bids were not submitted to the county board then. They were submitted to another contractor.
They were, and I don't know that, that may be something that a conversation needs to be had with Rick Schreiner so that.
I would guess so.
Because I'm not even, I wouldn't even pretend to be an attorney for a second. And sift through that whole thing. But he and I did have a discussion about how to handle that so that it wasn't construed as something other than what it was. And he seemed comfortable with it, so I'd let him answer any questions like that. That's all I have. I just wanted to bring that up before everybody went to lunch.
Okay, anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned, 11:55.
Have a good rest of the week.
You bet. You do the same.
Well, we'll see how the rest of the week goes.
Darn right.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Rex, I'm sorry.
Oh,
I've got some stuff. I got to meet with my wife at noon to get some things done, but has to get done.
Yeah, no.
So
it's
forgive me. Once in a while, you got to do that.
Yes, you do.
The posted.